Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I'm going to be preaching today from 2 Samuel, verse 5, and then 12 through 23. In this passage, and before this passage, we are told that David wanted to build a house for God. He looked around at the place that he dwelt in, and he thought, well, why does the Ark of the Covenant rest in a mangy old tent? Here am I with these walls around me, these stone walls, these cedar smelling in my nose. Why do I not build God a temple? And he was encouraged because the prophet of God said, yes, that's good. Go ahead. But then God spoke to the prophet once again. And he said, when did I ever ask you to build me a house? You see, God liked being tabernacled in the midst of the people. That's the reason it says that Jesus was tabernacled with us. He was God with us. He liked to be among us. And he felt as though that nomadic people that had the tents would surround the Ark of the Covenant where his presence abided. And so David, although he wanted to build the Lord a house, a nice house, a beautiful place to dwell, couldn't do it. All he could do was assemble the materials for his son Solomon to build the temple. And so it was. Now, he had a task set before him. One was to assemble all the pieces of the material so that not a hammer or chisel would be heard in Jerusalem, the city of peace. He had to assemble that, and he had to do one other thing. He had to bring God into the temple. And so David realized that God at that time dwelt on the altar just above the angels, right there on the tabernacle of the ark. And so he decided that he would bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. That didn't go as well as he thought either. But David was humbled by the presence of God. He knew that those who loved the Ark and who carried God's presence in a certain way would be fine. They would be blessed. But those who disobeyed him would be dead. Their lives would be forfeit because they did not believe in or trust the God of Israel. David was, as I said, humbled when he picked up the ark, and he chose that ark, and he traveled with it, and he was humbled to the point where he made animal sacrifices to appease God's anger and perhaps to even gain a little favor with God. That is what goes behind and before the passages I'm about to read. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be here with us, that you will speak to each and every one of us, into our experience, into our weaknesses, into our strengths, that you will give us your presence, and your presence brings boldness. And Father, we pray for that today. We pray that there will be boldness and understanding of what your will is for each and every one of us. And Father, we pray that no matter what I say, because my words are the words of a man, that you will cast them out and people will hear what you want them to hear today. That your Holy Spirit will guide each person here into the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Father, we commit this time to you. We ask that you would be here tabernacled amongst us, that you would come into this place and be with each and every one of us. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to read Samuel, 2 Samuel 6, verse 5. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, of harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And 13. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fattened sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. David was wearing a linen ephron. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling about before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both of the women and the men, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, every one to his own house. Then David returned to bless his household. And his wife, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to her, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." This is an amazing story, an astounding picture. The king of Israel worships God to the limit. He doesn't hold anything back. There comes a time when songs, prayers, music, and even the spoken word is simply not enough. David led Israel to dance in worship. That means not only is it astounding, but it also stresses David's love for God. He loved God with all of his heart. He gave everything he had in worship. Now, dancing was not common in the Israeli worship services. As a matter of fact, it was considered an excess, and most people didn't do it. But David didn't care what the rulers of the temple said, or their traditions said. He was going to express his worship of God. And oh, he danced. And he led other people to dance as well. What do we make of this worship? Are we, you know, we worship God, hopefully each of us worships God in spirit and in truth. Some will sit on their hands, some always have and always will sit on their hands. Some will lift their hands to the Lord, some will sing out, hallelujah, praise God, amen, some won't. Some will sing with electronic music behind them, and some will sing in choir robes with an organ playing, some with no musical instruments at all. It doesn't matter, you might say. Well, we've always done it this way. Well, that is a terrible thing for a pastor to hear. We've always done it this way. We've always had this color carpet. We've always had these. I mean, that's ridiculous. Because God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is waiting for you to express your love for Him. That is what worship is all about. Expressing your love for God. It's not about you. Worship is not about you. It's about God. Maybe it sometimes puts the us and them into the picture. Oh, perhaps it divides some churches. I know some churches that are divided between young and old. We like their contemporary music. That's loud, too loud for me. I don't like it. I won't go there. You know, I understand. But it's not about you. It divides cultures. Oh, well, they do this and they do that, or they are more enthusiastic than we are. It's not about culture. It's all about God. The truth is that God wants us to abandon ourselves and worship Him with all our might. With all of our might. Contemporary or traditional music, well, what's contemporary today will be traditional in a very short time. We sing out of our hymnals, and on our hymnals we had praise songs that were very contemporary, 30 years ago, but they're not anymore. You want to sit on your hands or lift your hands? Do you want to say amen, or do you want to keep quiet? Do you want to raise your hands and praise God, or do you just want to sit and soak? You know, David broke all the traditions. He danced. I believe that the Holy Spirit led David to dance. In that same place, 1,000 years later, the Holy Spirit would come again to the upper room, and on that day, 3,000 men will be saved. They will be baptized by the Holy Spirit Himself. Still sit on your hands. You may say hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord. You can, you know. You can look up at the sky and say, Holy Spirit, please come once again like you did before. Come into my life. You should stand and applaud and lift your eyes to the sky and ask the Holy Spirit to do what He did with David. The Holy Spirit will do surprising things if you abandon yourself to worship in God, in spirit and in truth. Worship is in the substance, not in the style. There's a story going around about a shop that opened in California. It was a story that kind of caught my attention because the sign on the outside of the store said, "We can fix anything." Well, one day a pastor walked in with an egg. Egg had a crack in it. He said, "Can you fix this? You see, this is a cracked egg that is from the last condor that lived and died just yesterday. And this egg fell and cracked. There's a thin crack. There's a lot on the line here." The young man looked at the egg, looked and looked. He finally handed it back to the pastor and said, "We can't fix that. Can we fix something else for you?" Pastor shook his head and said, no, that's all right. And he was walking out the door and suddenly he turned around and he said, "Well, maybe you could fix this. Could you fix the worship wars in our church? Could you bring peace to everybody? Could you get these two sides together, the worship with experience and the worship without it? And, can you do that?" And the guy listened to him and he said, "Wait a minute." And he went back and he talked to his manager and he came back out and he said, "Let me look at that egg again." More churches have been destroyed over worship than over doctrine. I don't know. I know this, that God tells us that He seeks people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But no matter how you worship, you're going to get criticized. There was a young woman who listened while people at the church got up and talked about their walk with God and what wonderful things that had meant to them, their walk with God. And finally, she got up and she said, "I don't walk with God. To me, I always dance with Him. Because in a dance, someone leads and someone follows." And she said, for her, dancing with her Lord was the thing that she loved the very best. You see, she thought that Jesus was the King of the dance. For her, that was true. Can't we practice tolerance and patience and honor those who worship a little differently than we do? Can't we go that far? Can't we try and understand that some people like various kinds of music and that's the way they worship with all their might? And some don't. I don't know. But this I know, that when that little lady got up and she spoke of her love for Christ, there were wet eyes all over the auditorium. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. Because what she had expressed was God in her. David was criticized for his worship by his own wife. She tongue-lashed him for dancing in his underwear. And David said, "No, I'm sorry. But my traditions, your traditions, the rest of the traditions that hold out that my worship was unseemly are wrong, because I did it for the Lord, as unto the Lord." I want to thank David for doing that. For David to stand up and say, "I will celebrate before the Lord." For putting God first instead of his wife or his family or his traditions or anything else. Because God wants you to worship him. Wouldn't it be a good thing if everyone worshiped God with all of his might? You know, think about that a minute. We sometimes scream and yell at football games. What if we screamed and yelled for Jesus? What if we did what we normally do and work and everything else for Jesus and him alone? What if we worship Jesus with everything that was within us? Because the first commandment, he said, is this, that you love one another, yes, but that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. God wants that of each and every one of us. He wants us to turn away from the things that of this world and turn toward him. He is the one who holds us in the palm of his hand, and there's no safer place in all the world to be. So what if we sang? Or what if we clapped? Or raised our hands? Or danced? Or sat on our hands with all of our might? Well, I tell you what. Then you might see the Holy Spirit come into this place like never before. Because that expression in each of our hearts to love God with everything that's in us, to worship him with all of our might, will mean that the Holy Spirit is here in permanent residence. It will mean that the people will fill this place to capacity and over. It would mean that we were right with God and would hear from him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because we would be totally surrendered to God. We sang wonderful songs before we started. We sang about, "I worship you, Lord." Do we really worship God? Do we worship him with everything that is within us? Or do we hold something back? Something in reserve? I ask you, whether it's in public or in your prayer closet, to worship God with all of your might on a daily basis.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.